From the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, why the southern border is more important than Ukraine, Biden criticizes Israel, and the fight against censorship and trans activists. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and Reagan Republican. Senate Republicans stood resolute this week against new spending for Ukraine unless it accompanies legislation to stem the tide of illegal aliens sauntering across our southern border. Senate Republicans doubt an agreement can be reached until after the Christmas recess, but could the White House engage in negotiations and possibly overrule Senate Democrats? Joining Family Research Council President Tony Perkins to discuss this on Wednesday was Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin. He serves on the Senate Budget Committee, the Senate Finance Committee, and the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. Here's Tony Perkins.
Senator Johnson, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Oh, Tony, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, Senator, as well. So give us the latest. Are the Senate Democrats in the Biden administration walking in lockstep when it comes to the border and Ukraine funding?
Pretty much. I don't think they've gotten serious yet. My concern is we start hearing the president talk about compromise. You know, what we want is a secure border. Now, we can, you know, certainly negotiate, you know, what that exactly means, but unfortunately, we have a lawless administration. We have a president that is not faithfully executing the laws. If you want a couple examples, when Supreme Court ruled that the eviction moratorium was unconstitutional, President Biden extended it anyway. When they ruled that forgiving student loans was unconstitutional, he's still forgiving them. So we can't rely on this president to actually follow the law, execute it, or quite honestly, follow through on any agreement he signs. So we need to hold his feet to the fire. That's why I've been proposing any funding must be contingent on benchmarks that he actually achieves. You know, do this in business all the time. You have performance bonuses, that type of thing. So you know, you can set this thing up. President Trump secured the border over a 12-month period of time from his peak to his trough with return to Mexico, safe third country. It can be done. But we need to be tough. Again, compromise language is not going to do this. Even the toughest language without those benchmarks is not going to secure the border. And that's got to be our bottom line, because the open border promoted by Joe Biden and his Democrat allies is a clear and present danger to America. It has to be our top national security, homeland security priority.
And as you said, Senator, we know how to do this. The Trump administration did it. So, I mean, they've already laid out the roadmap on how it can be accomplished. So before or last week, the Republicans in the Senate stood together and said no funding for Ukraine. Yesterday, there was a meeting with President Zelensky from Ukraine. Has that moved anything?
I don't think so. Again, I think most Americans are sympathetic with the plight of the Ukrainian people. They're opposed to the evil war criminal Putin. So from my standpoint, what takes precedent, though, is securing that border. I do believe that we need to bring this war to an end as quickly as possible. We need to get rid of the fantasy that Ukraine can win, unless you define winning further down than what most people would. Now, Ukraine can't do what it would really take to push Russia out of its territory. You'd have to start lobbing missiles into Moscow to start reducing Russian support for the war. So this war will only end with a settlement. Every day that goes by, more Ukrainians die, more Russian conscripts die. I take no joy in that. More of Ukraine gets destroyed. So every day that goes by with this war going on, the settlement becomes worse and worse. So we have to recognize that reality. Let's not engage in fantasies. And whatever funding we do give Ukraine should be used to try and maneuver Putin and get him to realize that this is a lose-lose-lose proposition for everybody. Right. And come to negotiate a settlement and stop the killing, stop the destruction.
So that's one of the issues, is what is the projected outcome? What's the goal here? That question needs to be answered. But there's another question, which I think is more down your alley as a former accountant, is there proper accountability for? I mean, this is a lot of money that we've given to Ukraine. Are we satisfied that it is being used they've said they've been using it?
Well, we're certainly not being told the truth. I mean, we saw, I think, a Time magazine article saying that something that in Zelensky's inner circle said that they're stealing like there's no tomorrow. We heard reports, somebody else saying that they really have enough war material to last them till the spring. So what is the truth here? We're not being given the truth, certainly not by this administration, not by this president, who has lied through his teeth on a host of issues when he talks to the American public. So that's part of the problem. We're just not getting the truth, but we're also not recognizing reality. Ukraine, unfortunately, cannot win this war, mainly because Putin cannot afford to lose it, and he won't lose it. This is existential to him if he were to lose this war. He's got nuclear weapons. He would use them if forced into a corner. So let's recognize that reality and do everything we can. You know, one of the things that Zelensky talked about, if he doesn't get the funding, this would, you know, he said, Putin will never take over Ukraine. There's too much resistance. This would turn into a guerrilla war. Well, that's the kind of message he needs to send to Putin. This is a lose-lose situation. So come to the bargaining table. Let's end this destruction. Let's end the killing.
So what does that look like practically? What parts of Ukraine will be given up for this negotiated settlement?
Well, when I was at Zelensky's inauguration, I went back 2 months later. Zelensky, at that point in time, when Russia had already illegally annexed Crimea and was in firmly control of eastern Ukraine, the Donbas region, Zelensky at that point in time wanted to do a peace agreement, recognizing that he wasn't going to reclaim those territories. He was very realistic that way. So he needs to come to that reality as well. As many war crimes have been committed, he has to realize, I mean, there won't be justice for that. I mean, you just can't hold Putin accountable when he has nuclear weapons. So again, I wish you could. I wish you could haul that war criminal before the Hague and hang him, but that's not possible. So you have to recognize reality situation and lay out for Putin. This will grind you down like Afghanistan ground you down, like you ground America down. Guerrilla warfare is not pleasant for the invading army. So come to terms with the fact that this is going to be settled. And again, come to the terms that every day that it's not settled, the settlement terms get worse and worse and worse.
Is there any sense that President Zelensky is at that point?
Probably not. And I understand the challenge he has. The people of Ukraine have shown unbelievable courage. They've been violated. There have been war crimes committed against them, their family members. They're not going to want to settle, but they're also not going to win. Or better put better, Putin will not lose this war. And they have to come to that reality, and we've got to end this war.
It's kind of amazing how the world supports Ukraine because of the war crimes of Russia, but there seems to be waning in their support for Israel and the crimes that were committed against them by Hamas terrorists. It's rather interesting. We're gonna talk about that in the next segment with one of your colleagues, Pete Ricketts. Senator, I want to thank you for joining us. Very insightful, and always appreciate you coming on and joining us.
And Merry Christmas. God bless everyone.
Thank you, Senator. Merry Christmas to you as well. All right, as I mentioned, coming up next, Senator Pete Ricketts of Nebraska joined us. We're going to drill down a little bit on Israel. Did President Biden signal a fracturing of his support for Israel at a fundraiser yesterday, or was it just more of kind of the president going off teleprompter? We're going to talk about that with Senator Pete Ricketts after the break. So don't go away. More Washington Watch coming up right after this.
For 40 years, Family Research Council has been in Washington, D.C., championing faith, family, and freedom in public policy and the culture from a biblical worldview. But it isn't easy. As the culture continues to become increasingly divided, believers must continue defending biblical truth while many on the left wish to silence and marginalize Christians. Will you join us? Your financial support has never been more important. Thanks to your partnership, we can continue to reach more Americans with the important news from Washington, D.C. Equip believers to stand firm in our culture and defend biblical truth in the halls of government. Every donation we receive will go towards preserving and advancing policies for a culture that honors faith, family, and freedom. To give, text the word GIVE to 67742. Again, text GIVE to 67742.
Most of us have wrestled with deep questions about the meaning of life at one time or another. Questions like, why are we here? What has gone wrong with our world? Is there any hope? And how does it all end? Thankfully, David Claussen, director of the Center for Biblical Worldview at Family Research Council, has carefully answered each of these tough questions in his latest publication titled An Introduction to Worldview. With 81% of evangelical church attendees claiming to hold a biblical worldview, and only 21% actually holding a biblical worldview, resources like this are more important than ever. With this new resource, we invite you, your family, and your church to evaluate what makes up a worldview and to see how a biblical worldview provides the most satisfying answers to life's biggest questions. To read the full publication and to see other resources from FRC's Center for Biblical Worldview, visit frc.org/worldview. Again, that's frc.org/worldview.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. Good to have you with us on this Wednesday. The website, TonyPerkins.com. Are you waiting for a vote on for the Congress to formalize the impeachment inquiry into President Joe Biden? Right now, they're just finishing up on a vote to allow schools to serve whole milk in their lunch programs. Wow. Speaking at a fundraiser last night, President Biden criticized Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, accusing him of kowtowing to extremists in his government and warning that Israel's counterattacks into Gaza, which he called, quote, indiscriminate bombing, end quote, is beginning to cost Israel support around the world. Prime Minister Netanyahu acknowledged disagreements but confirmed that Israel, quote, won't give in to international pressure, end quote. Could the Biden administration's support for Israel be waning? Joining me now to discuss this, Senator Pete Ricketts from Nebraska. He serves on three Senate committees, including the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. Senator Ricketts, welcome back to the program.
Thank you very much for having me on again, Tony. I appreciate it.
Well, Merry Christmas. Let me ask you this question. Do you think the president, this is just more of kind of President Biden off the cuff, not really realizing what he's saying, or is this an indication of a weakening of U.S. support for Israel?
Well, I think this is more of President Biden just losing his backbone, as he is very much in the habit of doing. He flip-flops, he prevaricates, he goes back and forth, and this is just, in my opinion, another example of that. We need to support Israel in their war. The difference between good and evil here could not be more clear. The Hamas terrorists committed atrocities on October 7th. They shot unarmed civilians. They raped women. They killed little children. This was an atrocity. And by doing that, they declared war on Israel. And Israel now is at war with Hamas. And so every person who died on October 7th and every person who has died since then in Gaza, that lies the responsibility of Hamas. Hamas is responsible for all those deaths because they started this, not Israel. This is not Israel's fault. There was a ceasefire on the 6th. Hamas broke it and started a war.
Let me ask you this, because I was just speaking to your colleague, Senator Johnson, Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, and we were talking about Ukraine. And, you know, there's this international sympathy for Ukraine. And I'm not saying it's not valid, of what Russia has done with their war crimes. Why do we not see the same international support for Israel when you look at the crimes, as you just cataloged there, done by Hamas to civilians who were just living in peace? There, as you said, there was a ceasefire prior to that. It was Hamas that started this. Why is the international community giving sympathy to them?
I got to tell you, it is one of the things that just boggles my mind, because, again, the difference between good and evil here could not be more clear. And where are the calls then for people to tell Hamas to surrender, to stop their attacks, their terrorism attacks? I mean, Hamas is an organization that in its charter calls for the destruction of the state of Israel and to kill Jews. This is an organization that must be destroyed. Not only will the state of Israel be better off when Hamas is destroyed, but so will the U.S. and humanity will be better when Hamas is destroyed. And this is exactly in line with the same types of thing that Russia is doing in Ukraine. We need to be helping both of our allies to be able to push back against this evil and really make sure that this, especially in Gaza, is destroyed, because the state of Israel cannot tolerate Hamas on its borders any longer.
I would agree with your assessment. You know, I think you share this. None of us want to see civilians, innocent people harmed, regardless of their what country they're associated with. But I think that when you look at Prime Minister Netanyahu's comments in response to President Biden, he has an obligation to protect his people. And they've tried this. They have been on the short end consistently, and they have been under attack without end. And so I think they're wanting to try to secure their own country as best as they can in this moment. And if they don't take it, I don't think they're going to get another time, another opportunity.
Yeah, I agree with you. Absolutely. And, you know, and let's remember also that Hamas could end this all today by surrendering, having their leaders come forth, face the consequences for what the crimes they've committed. But Hamas could stop this today and end what is going on in Gaza. But they don't. You know why? Because they don't care about their own people. They use their own people as human shields. When Israel has told civilians to move out of the way of the battle, Hamas reportedly comes in and tells them they can't leave. I mean, they've obviously using these hostages they have as part of their shields against the Israeli Defense Force. I mean, this is an evil organization that needs to be destroyed. Why more of the world does not see this for what it is just beyond me.
So wouldn't that have been a better approach for the United Nations yesterday, putting forth this resolution calling for a ceasefire? Wouldn't it have been a better approach for them to call upon Hamas to surrender and end this war by putting forth those who perpetrated the October 7th atrocities?
Yeah, absolutely. And part of this, again, I think, is what we're seeing is just the anti-Semitism that is, you know, run rampant in this world. Certainly much more than I even realized. I mean, you know, I knew there was anti-Semitism out there. We'd seen examples of it in our own country. But to see so much of it coming out in our own country on college campuses, but also in the UN with these types of resolutions. I mean, the UN is consistently, the General Assembly there has always been anti-Israel. And so it's not terribly surprising what they did, but a better approach would have said, Hamas, if you surrender, all the civilians dying will stop immediately.
Yeah. I mean, that would have put an end to it. You know, the House, Senator, last question for you. The House has passed and sent to the Senate an aid package for Israel. Where does that stand?
Well, actually, my colleagues and I, used through a procedural matter, were able to get a vote on the Senate floor about that, and Senate Democrats blocked it. So we've tried to get that aid to Israel. In fact, that was, I think, about a month ago, to get it done as quickly as possible. So it is obviously now wrapped up in the whole supplemental package that the president has proposed. That includes the funding for Ukraine, the Indo-Pacific. And of course, one of the things that we're demanding as Republicans is border security. You know, yes, we've seen what happens in countries like Israel when you don't have a secure border. And we've got to have our secure border first before we start helping out other countries. And that's what we're
doing. It's just like on the airplanes. They tell you to put your mask on first before you put on those next to you. So we need to help ourselves before we help someone else. Senator Pete Ricketts, it's always great to see you. Thanks so much for stopping by.
Great. Thanks very much. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you as well.
You can find out more about Senator Ricketts when you visit TonyPerkins.com. And while you're there, don't forget to join us in our year-end campaign as we fight against the current culture with Christian values. And until the end of the month, your tax-deductible gift will be doubled. You'll find the link there at TonyPerkins.com.
Are you tired of the mainstream media censoring Christian and conservative voices? Are you looking for news about the most important topics of the day, presented to you through the lens of biblical truth? FRC has the answer, The Washington Stand. The Washington Stand is Family Research Council's outlet for news and commentary from a biblical worldview, covering issues from abortion, sexuality, and religious liberty, to education, to what's happening on Capitol Hill and around the world. The Washington Stand reports on the top stories affecting faith, family, and freedom that the mainstream media doesn't want you to know about. So Subscribe today to receive the latest news from the Washington Stand in your inbox every weekday morning by texting TWS to 67742 or by visiting WashingtonStand.com. Again, that's TWS to 67742.
Most of us have wrestled with deep questions about the meaning of life at one time or another. Thankfully, Family Research Council's Center for Biblical Worldview's latest publication, titled An Introduction to Worldview, provides the answers. With this new resource, we invite you, your family, and your church to evaluate what makes up a worldview and to see how a biblical worldview provides the most satisfying answers to life's biggest questions. To read the full publication, visit frc.org/worldview. Again, that's frc.org/worldview.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. While much has been made about the Biden family stonewalling investigators, they aren't the only ones who think that they are above the law. Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey's investigation into Washington University in St. Louis over their practices regarding irreversible, life-altering transgender procedures is being stonewalled. Washington University has refused to release information to the state of Missouri, resulting in Attorney General Bailey's filing a lawsuit. There may be more to this, as someone may be telling them not to comply. Who could that someone be? Joining Tony Perkins now to discuss this and more is Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey.
General Bailey, welcome back to the program.
Thank you for having me on.
So, General, let's talk about this lawsuit. This has been ongoing. This has been an investigation into the practices of Washington University in St. Louis, that questionable practices, I should say, regarding minors and transgender surgeries and treatments. What information have they blocked you from obtaining?
Well, these were deplorable child mutilation factories that were operating across the state. A whistleblower came forward back in February and caused us to launch an investigation into the clinic in St. Louis. And the allegations the whistleblower made were very specific and very credible. And so we began obtaining evidence from the clinic. The clinic was at first cooperative, and so we got several tranches of documents that we've been able to go through, but it led us to some different angles of our investigation. And so we've followed up with additional requests for documentation. The problem is that suddenly, after agreeing to turn over the second tranche of documents, the clinic has now said that they can't because of HIPAA. We have reason to believe that the federal government has whispered in the ears of the clinicians and told them not to comply with our investigation, yet HIPAA has an explicit exception for state regulators who are investigating these types of abuses. So we're entitled to these documents legally, and we filed suit to make sure we can obtain the documents and close out our investigation and hold any wrongdoers accountable.
So let me push pause there for just a moment, General Bailey. So could it be the Biden administration is whispering into the ears of Washington University saying, look, we don't think you should be giving these documents over to the Attorney General in his investigation?
That's exactly right. We're going to file a Freedom of Information Act request to try to get to the bottom of it and root out where this is occurring at the federal level. But we have every reason to believe this is originating at the federal government, and they're trying to use HIPAA as an excuse to shut down this investigation. And it's consistent with the radical transgender ideology that the Biden administration has pushed on schools, has pushed on businesses, has pushed on colleges and universities, has pushed on public restrooms. So it would not surprise us at all to learn that this is the case. And we'll continue to fight back. This lawsuit and our Freedom of Information Act requests are the best tools that we have at our disposal at the present time to accomplish just that.
Well, not only is this consistent with their ideological bent of promoting this, but it's also consistent with their tactics of delaying and stonewalling, forcing people to go through circuitous routes to try to get this information, all with the hopes that the clock will run out or they'll go away.
Well, the bad news for them, I'm not going away. I want Missouri to be the safest state in the nation for children. We've been on this issue since day one when I took office early this year. And we're not going to stop now. Our General Assembly has enacted a statute, and I'm proud to say it put a stop to child sterilization in the state of Missouri. And my office successfully defended that statute from legal attack by the ACLU, and we were the first state in the nation to win at the trial court level on this issue. But that doesn't mean the investigation goes away. Again, if there were child abusers mutilating children in violation of state law, if there were parents that were duped into consenting to these dangerous life-altering procedures without proper consent, we need to know that, and we need to hold wrongdoers accountable. It's important that the public understand what went wrong here so that we can prevent it from ever happening again. So we're not going to let up now.
So let me ask you this, General Bailey. What do you I'm asking you here to kind of to guess based upon what you've seen thus far in your investigation. What are they hiding? Why are they refusing to turn over? If there's nothing wrong here, if they've done nothing wrong, why would they not turn over this documentation?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Look, if the what the whistleblower says is true, and we have reason to believe it is, then that's going to exist in the evidence and in the documentary evidence that we're going to obtain. So that would be the only reason to prevent us from seeing those documents, because they're afraid it's going to corroborate what the whistleblower said when she put her name on an affidavit and swore under penalty of perjury that what the accusations she was making were true. But I would also point out that not only was the whistleblower willing to put her name on the line on an affidavit to initiate this investigation, she testified in the trial where we defended the statute that put an end to these child sterilization procedures and subjected herself to cross-examination. This woman is incredibly credible. She subjected herself to the legal process. And so, again, that would be the only reason they would be trying to hide those documents, is to hide the corroborating evidence.
Well, I am grateful that there are attorneys general at the state level like yourself who are willing to stay on this and expose this type of corruption. I mean, this is. I mean, you've been taking the Biden administration to task on a number of things, but it shows that this is deep, and they're not only affecting the federal policy, but they're now reaching into the states to do the same. General, we're out of time. I want to thank you for joining us. Always great to see you.
Thanks for having me on. Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you, and Merry Christmas to you as well.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkel, thanking you for being with us. I look forward to having you back here again next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.